Current Affairs. This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on GST Bachat Utsav, tax reforms to boost manufacturing, agriculture and middle class affordability. The participants are Anil Padmanabhan, economic analyst, and Anubha Rohatgi, anchor.
Mr. Padmanabhan, welcome to Akashvani's Current Affairs program.
Thank you, Anubha, for having me.
Mr. Padmanabhan, how have the next generation GST reforms with their simplified two-tier structure prioritized customers? Because even the Prime Minister in his address to the nation on the eve of kicking in of these reforms said that it is a GST Bachat Utsav and 2.5 lakh crore rupees will be saved this year due to GST 2.0. And before you answer that, let's listen into what the Prime Minister said on the benefits of the GST reforms to the middle class.
पिछले 11 साल में देश में 25 करोड़ लोगों ने गरीबी को हराया है, गरीबी को परास्त किया है और गरीबी से बाहर निकल करके 25 करोड़ का एक बहुत बड़ा समूह नियो मिडिल क्लास के रूप में आज देश के अंदर बहुत बड़ी भूमिका अदा कर रहा है। इस नियो मिडिल क्लास की अपनी एस्पिरेशंस हैं। इस साल सरकार ने 12 लाख रुपए तक की इनकम को टैक्स फ्री करके एक उपहार दिया और स्वाभाविक है जब 12 लाख रुपयों का इनकम टैक्स में राहत हो जाए तो मध्यम वर्ग के जीवन में तो कितना बड़ा बदलाव आता है.
So as I was, we just heard the Prime Minister talking about, you know, the middle class and how the GST reforms will affect the middle class. So like I was asking you, how have these reforms prioritized the consumers?
It is probably for the first time that the consumer has become the singular objective of public policy. I want to take you back, Anubha, to maybe 4 or 5 decades ago, particularly like the Prime Minister referred to the middle class, the neo middle class. You know, if you remember in the 70s, the middle class had dared to dream because of the Bajaj Chetak.
Yes.
So mobility gave them, you know, ability and the means to dream. Then we had to wait for another decade till Maruti launched its affordable car. Thereafter, when 1991 License Raj was dismantled, then we started to see the beginnings of a consumer economy. But we have never seen such a big pivot as we are seeing today. So what this GST 2.0 has done, one, it has reduced the multiple slabs. There were some 6 odd slabs. They are now broadly about 3. 2 in the category that defines the bulk of India's consumer economy. So at one level, it reduced dramatically the rates on what we call daily consumption goods, so which is huge relief for any household budget, particularly in the middle class, poor and the lower middle class. At the other level, it reduced duties on aspirational goods, particularly entry level automobiles, mobile phones. So you see, we must understand that what the Prime Minister has talked about, the neo middle class, they have probably better aspirations or higher aspirations than us, but they don't have the means to fulfill it. So what this GST has done has reduced the gap, and particularly in entry-level goods. So everybody wants to provide mobility to the family. Like I said, the Bajaj and the Maruti Udyog projects in the 70s and 80s dared the middle class to dream. This is probably the first time that such a huge segment of India's consumer economy, we are talking of a now 600-700 million population, which is almost twice the population of the United States. So it is for the first time that they are beginning to dare to dream to live in a consumer economy. So which is how it has benefited income classes across, but particularly the middle income and the lower income classes.
Of course, the Prime Minister did mention the middle class group, but he's also talked about how these reforms are going to affect the, you know, the women, the youth. What do you have to say for that?
Anubha, great point. In fact, women in this country have been ignored forever. So it is only now, largely because they are 50% of India's population.
Yes.
But have you ever seen public policy directed at women in terms of, you know, chasing their aspirations? No. But we are seeing a pivot today. So beginning with, say, the toilets experiment, project rather, mission mode, drinking water, cooking gas, electricity, it provided dignity to women in this country for the first time. Now you're giving them purchasing power in their hands. How are you doing that? I want to flag your attention to the fact that till 2018, there were no direct cash benefit transfers to women. Okay. Today, there are some 14 states, in fact, today,
yes,
the Prime Minister announced women-specific scheme, right, Bihar elections.
Right.
So about 10,000 rupees to each, 75 lakh women. Now, this footprint of direct cash benefit transfers are spread over some 14 states in the country, and the annual outgo is 2 lakh crore plus, which, just for our listeners, is twice the annual MNREGA budget. And these now studies have begun to show, empirical studies, because long anecdotally everyone has believed that once you do direct cash benefit transfers, untied, they are untied, they are not to any specific function, they are
right,
direct given to them. So women make the right choices. Okay, for them it begins with the household, then the children, the education, health and so on. So there's a study which has just been published in Jharkhand. Jharkhand is one of India's real extreme states in terms of backwardness, poverty. To give you a sample of what we are talking about, 65% of women between 15 and 59 are anemic in the state. 40% of the children are stunted. So it is a state which suffers from nutrition, poverty, all these big challenges that a developing economy faces, we see in Jharkhand. Now, this project was done on a pilot basis. For the first time, found direct correlation in the nutrition habits and nutrition outcomes of women and children. Women is a little early because, yes, in adults you don't see the impact that quick. But the social transformation, because these are transfers that women have to receive using their biometrics.
Right.
They are forced to leave their homes, which is creating a different dynamic. Then please keep in mind the women's reservation bill that has been approved by parliament.
Right.
So women's representation in parliament is also going to change. So there is a very happy convergence which we are witnessing, which rarely gets the attention. Now political parties are waking up and they are all rushing to get the eyeballs of women. They are already influencing the outcomes, most elections in this country, national, state,
yes,
and even at the local level. So it's a great point to ask that GST, by reducing these daily consumption items and together with all the other services I mentioned, is creating an unprecedented opportunity for women in this country.
Now, the government has timed implementation of these GST reforms to coincide with the start of the festive season, when traditionally there is a surge in consumption across food, clothing, electronics and automobiles. So the way I look at it, GST reforms translates to more money for the consumers as well as more revenue for the government. Would you agree with that?
Not necessarily more revenue. That's up in the air. We
right,
have to wait
exactly,
for at least a year.
Yeah.
Not for the next 6 months. Because please understand,
yes,
now 6 months are gone. So if everybody jumps to conclusions based on the next 6 months, that'll be wrong.
So there is over a period of time.
Correct. So the point you're making is that there is a buoyancy in taxes whereby if you reduce the rates, there is a commensurate increase in consumption.
Right.
So which means what we call the price into quantity, the P into Q, is what goes up while P comes down, Q goes up. And so you're not hit. So which is the expectation? Because there is a tax buoyancy which we have seen over the last 8 years. If you go back to 8 years ago, what happened? That time we were coming out of a VAT regime. And almost every finance minister was scared of revenue loss when,
yes,
you're going into a new tax regime. It's a legitimate fear. So what happened is you retrofitted the VAT regime,
right,
into a GST regime, which is why you ended up with six slabs. And you ended up with higher rates. Because you were just literally translating what,
yes,
prevailed in VAT into marginal reduction, but into GST. So at that time, they internally, they were anticipating 50,000 crores of revenue on an average. Today is 2 lakh crores.
Right.
So what does it tell you? It tells you there is a buoyancy, largely also because there is compliance, better compliance, etc. But fact is that GST is a very efficient tax that creates a buoyancy and a velocity. So that is established. Now, when you reduce these rates in this manner, you are banking on that buoyancy to make up the revenue loss, which they have mentioned, it's some 2
yes,
lakh crores in the
yes,
year. But that's notional. Because if you do, people pick up on consumption, then that's made up.
Right.
So, yes, immediately you may not see the impact, but eventually it should, assuming the economy continues in this trajectory,
right,
of growing at 8% plus.
So let me rephrase that. It means more money for the consumers, and in the long run, after a gestation period, it would hopefully translate into more revenue for the government as well over a period of time when there is pickup in the consumption and manufacturing. Okay, so agriculture is vital to our economy, and a large section of our population earns its livelihood from agriculture and related sectors. Now, first, let's listen to what the Prime Minister said on how GST reforms are going to benefit the farmers.
Hamare desh ke gareeb, madhyam vargiye log, neo middle class, युवा किसान महिलाएं दुकानदार व्यापारी उद्यमी सभी को ये बचत उत्सव का बहुत फायदा होगा। यानी त्योहारों के इस मौसम में सबका मुंह मीठा होगा।
एंड लेट्स आल्सो लिसन इनटू व्हाट द एग्रीकल्चर मिनिस्टर मिस्टर शिवराज सिंह चौहान सेड हाउ द जीएसटी रिफॉर्म्स विल हैव मेड एग्रीकल्चरल इक्विपमेंट अफोर्डेबल एंड हाउ इट विल अफेक्ट और हाउ इट विल बेनिफिट द एग्रीकल्चर सेक्टर।
अकेले ट्रैक्टर को देखे तो छोटे छोटे ट्रैक्टर जो बागवानी के काम आते थे वो 23,000 और बड़े ट्रैक्टर अगर देखे तो 63,000 रुपया तक बचेंगे। कंबाइन जो हमारे हार्वेस्टर होते हैं उन पे 1,87,000 रुपया तक बचेंगे। कृषि उपकरण सस्ते हो गए, खाने पीने की चीजें सस्ती हो गई है, पहनने ओढ़ने की चीजें सस्ती हो गई है।
So, Mr. Padmanabhan, agriculture, actually, if you look at it, is quite a cost-intensive, sector. How will lowering of GST on many agricultural equipment from the earlier 12 and 18% slabs to 5% not only reduce costs for the farmers, but also increase their incomes?
See, Anupa, what Mr. Chauhan said in his statement, he said all the benefits that we just discussed that accrue to the middle class also accrue to an agricultural household.
Yes.
So which means their household budget expands by that much more. Now, coming to what the PM said and the agriculture minister expanded on, if you reduce taxes on the equipment you're using, then that also reduces the outgo on your household budget. So your household budget is that much more because of these reductions. And please keep in mind, today Indian agriculture is heavily mechanized.
Right.
It is not just Punjab. I mean, the popular impression is that the only mechanization is in Punjab and Haryana. Not true. If you look at the harvest season has come, if you take a cursory rail journey, you will see the goods trains carrying these threshers and massive harvester combines across the country, including Madhya Pradesh, which is the home state of our agriculture minister. Biggest example of mechanization and one of the fastest growing agriculture states in the country. So these are the multiple ways in which an agricultural household will benefit from these GST reductions directly as well as indirectly.
GST has also been reduced on biopesticides and micronutrients, and the inverted duty structure on fertilizer inputs have been corrected as part of the reforms. How significant are these steps in reducing dependence on imports in the agri sector and also in encouraging a shift towards sustainable farming? Because that's again one of the goals of the government.
See, Anubha, these are baby steps, but they are important steps. By incentivizing biopesticides, you are creating an ecosystem for the farmer to do the transition. But they will need a lot more handholding. By correcting for the inverted duty structure, definitely the fertilizer output costs will come down because that's one of the areas that got impacted. Now, if output goes up because of these incentives, then automatically your imports decline, right? So you get a relief on the external sector for the country at a macro level. And domestically, our farmers get homegrown fertilizers. And hopefully these are lead to the next steps, where I do believe that India needs to fix its fertilizer subsidy issue, largely in the way it is carried out. In the earlier half, I talked about the efficacy of direct benefit transfers in cash. Maybe this is the moment, because the Indian farmer is, contrary to the popular narrative, is a very resilient, extremely intelligent and a high risk taker. So they are someone who's open to innovation and change. It's a question of how you share the information with the Indian farmer. So I do believe that this is a moment where you can pivot to direct benefit transfers of fertilizer subsidy in cash. Let the farmer decide the nature, composition and share of fertilizers they want to use. Today, because of the fertilizer subsidy regime, the way it is structured, there's a skewing of towards cheaper fertilizer, which is nitrogen. So we are seeing problems in the productivity of land, particularly in Punjab and Haryana. And largely it's because of the way the fertilizers are being applied. So maybe this is the moment to take the bigger step to free Indian agriculture from the traditional confines, prepare it for the future. Indian agriculture and our farmers an opportunity to grow as much as anybody in non-farming sector can grow.
Right. And before we move forward, let's listen to the Secretary General of Seafood Exporters Association of India, Mr. K.N. Raghavan, what he said about the benefits of GST reforms to the agriculture sector.
GST reforms aisa hua ki wo duty kam bana hai raw material ke liye, wo culture ke upyog karne wali fish feed ke liye aur jo انسٹرومنٹس یوز کرتا ہے، اکوپمنٹس یوز کرتا ہے، اس کے بھی جی ایس ٹی کم کیا ہے، اور وہ جاب ورک وہ سی فوڈ میں پروڈکشن میں کرتا ہے وہ بھی اس کا تو سروس جی ایس ٹی ریٹ کم ہو گیا، اس لیے انٹر پروڈکشن سائیکل میں جی ایس ٹی کا پربھاؤ کم ہوا ہے، ریٹ تو کم ہوا ہے تو کاسٹ آف پروڈکشن کم ہو جائیں گے اور سب کو اس کا بینیفٹ ملیں گے.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi recently gave a call, you know, when he was addressing the nation on the eve of the implementation of these reforms. He gave a call for a return to Swadeshi values, asking Indians to prefer made in India products in daily life. He said, garv se kaho ye Swadeshi hai. In what ways will GST 2.0 incentivize manufacturing and resonate with the government's vocal for local mantra?
See, Anubha, in many ways, but one primary way is the inverted duty structure which the GST 2.0 resolved to a large degree. Second is, you know, in the classification of goods, there was a lot of issues because the goods were classified separately and the interpretations of the classification right. varied across the state and across the country. The best example is the sorry episode about popcorns
right.
where caramelized popcorn was charged at a different rate and non-caramelized at a different rate. Then you can extend that example to say if you want to buy snacks in a movie hall, if you bought it online, the rate of tax was different right. as opposed to when you bought it in person in the movie hall. Or if you went and booked online for a bus ticket, it was charged at a higher rate as opposed to your being physically appearing at a counter and booking a ticket. All these classifications were creating a nightmare for GST and it was getting a bad name. Now, this classification issue has been resolved to a major degree. Long way to go still. So, this way also it helps in creating a more efficient tax regime. See, and please understand the power of GST. I think we need to explain to our listeners mm-hmm. that prior to GST, which was the VAT regime, there were about in 36 tax jurisdictions, I mean right. states and union territories, and 17 taxes and 13 cesses. Now, all of this got subsumed into the idea of one nation, one tax. So you can imagine the efficiency impact this has, say in a simple segment like logistics. So if you were to transport a good from Kerala to say Kashmir, you had to probably go through 8 or 9 states and deal with the multitude of taxes along the way, octroi, entry, exit, all of that has been subsumed. So one, there is a seamless movement of a good from Kerala all the way to Kashmir. It has economically unified this country for the first time. People are not understanding the significance of this. You were literally operating in 36 little countries in this country, economically independent countries, today no longer. So it is a monumental feat which India has achieved. That tax reform has laid the foundation for a very modern economy. So right. the direct tax changes which have been put in place in this budget, all of this, what do they do? You know, if you are a producer in this country, there's a stability of a tax regime,
right.
both from a production point of view and from your income point of view, which allows you to direct your investments. And there are less uncertainties. So that is how these, people don't realize how significant these tax reforms are in creating a new ecosystem for India. And please understand, India has committed itself to becoming a developed economy in 22 years.
Yes.
Which means our per capita income, which is $2,700 today, has to grow nearly sevenfold to $18,000 in the next 22 years. You cannot do it on the old ecosystem. India needs a new ecosystem, and this GST 2.0 and direct tax law which has been just put in place are the very first steps towards that.
As I was listening to you, you mentioned how things have become so much better for domestic manufacturers, with this new regime. But I want to draw your attention to what about the international investors? Now, those companies, those businesses that now want to, manufacture their goods here, how would this new GST regime or the reforms, how are they going to, facilitate that? And how beneficial is it going to be?
Anupa, the same way. If you check with any foreign investor, what is their biggest concern about India? One, the tax regime.
Right.
Tax regime, not just the rates, but the regime. Now you have gone a long way in creating a level of transparency. So there's a certain confidence with which they come in. Second worry was retrospective taxation. If you remember the crisis that happened because of India's retrospective right. tax, which luckily this government undid. So these are the concerns that any investor has, which is the same concern that a domestic investor mm-hmm. has. If you create a better ecosystem, a more efficient ecosystem, then I think they will fall. If you, roll out a red carpet for domestic investors, producers, then do the same for foreign investors, you'll find the same outcome.
Right. The micro, small and medium enterprises, or the MSMEs, contribute to about 30% of our total economic output and about 45% of exports. Now, the government has said that the GST reforms empowered this sector. Let's first listen to what the Prime Minister said about the GST reforms in the manufacturing sector and the growth of MSMEs.
GST ki dare kam hone se, niyam aur prakriyaen aur aasan banne se, hamare MSMEs, hamare laghu udyogon ko, kutir udyogon ko, bahut fayda hoga. उनकी बिक्री बढ़ेगी और टैक्स भी कम देना पड़ेगा यानी उनको भी डबल फायदा होगा जब भारत समृद्धि के शिखर पर था तब भारत की अर्थव्यवस्था का मुख्य आधार हमारे एमएसएमई थे हमारे लघु और कुटीर उद्योग थे भारत की मैन्युफैक्चरिंग भारत में बने सामानों की क्वालिटी बेहतर होती थी हमें उस गौरव को वापस पाना है.
So, Mr. Padmanabhan, we just heard the Prime Minister talking about how it will benefit the MSMEs. So, how is this being achieved, especially in terms of lower input costs, expedited registrations, compliance and refund?
See, the compliance part is what has been fixed to a large degree, though there's still a distance to go. And they were struggling, MSMEs. Even now, there is a lot of distance to be covered because of the problem is that tax regime, see, in direct taxes, you have a union government which administers it. That's not true of GST. GST, 36 tax jurisdictions in this country administer it. Though it's one nation, one tax, administering is a different issue. So interpretations can vary. So the brunt of it was often borne by the small and medium sector. See, please understand, they are, in aggregate terms, they contribute in large terms in terms of India's GDP, which you mentioned, and employment. They are India's single largest employer after agriculture. So they are a very important economic agent. Unfortunately, they have never got their due. And part of the reason is the typical working capital issues. They don't have collateral, so they are not able to raise money. So they have to go and borrow expensive. Plus, this administration of GST was a nightmare in terms of how they deal with the tax authorities and the paperwork involved. They don't have the bandwidth to do paperwork. They can't hire an expensive law firm to fight their challenges. So they just suffer under that load. So imagine another way to view this is they're generating 30% of our GDP despite this.
Right.
So when I remove this encumbrance, can you imagine what they will contribute? So that is how we need to look at the kind of opportunity cost that has been solved with the GST 2.0, or at least mitigated, will generate that much commensurate impact on their contribution to India's GDP and job growth.
And before we move forward, Akashvani spoke to NABARD Chairman Shaji KV, and he spoke about how the GST reforms will boost the manufacturing sector. Let's listen into what he said.
With the rural income increasing and demand increasing, so that means it will give rise to a chain of more production need to be there. So that means whatever manufacturing sector boost which we are expecting will happen. And with that, no, we need not look outwards of India. So that means in the Atmanirbhar is actually playing out well in the rural areas. And government has taken the right step to give it a boost with the current GST cut.
How will these next generation GST reforms impact the rural and tribal populations of India?
See, Anupa, the same way, let me back up a little. See, the India's consumer behavior in India has undergone a dramatic transformation, say, in the last two decades. There's unprecedented convergence in consumption patterns between urban and rural. So, anecdotally, when we traveled, say, three decades ago to a rural area, you would see the lifestyle was different, the language was different, everything was different. And of course, the facilities were not there. Today, there's a democratization of facilities. So banking, everybody now in India almost owns a banking account. Everyone in India has electricity access. Everyone has access to cooking gas. So there is a kind of democratization of access. This has led to the democratization of consumption. So there is a convergence. So they, in rural India, they speak like us, they dress like us, they consume like us. So you will not see a big difference anymore so dramatically as you would see in the past. So there is a convergence. So all the benefits that we discussed for the consumer economy for urban India plays out for them too.
Right.
So plus the advantages we discussed in the agriculture economy that GST is benefiting. So you add all of this. So this is how it impacts. And this is why I said the consumer economy in India tends to be seen from the lens of metros. No longer. Today, if you ask all your e-commerce companies, where are their sales coming from the fastest growth? They are in tier 4, tier 5 towns, not even tier 2, tier 3, tier 1. So you're talking about tier 4, tier 5, because e-commerce has created the death of geography. You can now, part of India is non-accessible. Better roads, better access. So you are seeing all of this in play. You are seeing a kind of dynamic in the Indian economy, which you have not seen before, which has been building. It's over time. It's not that it happened overnight. So what I call the plumbing, domestic plumbing, was one of the biggest challenges. And within that, GST was a very important domestic plumbing element. Just like access to electricity, gas, cooking, and all these things were there. So they're all coming together. So this is an unprecedented moment for India, the Indian economy, and hopefully all the Indian consumers.
So in the perspective of wider tax reforms, the simplification of GST registration will likely encourage more businesses, especially small and medium ones, to join the formal tax network. How significant is that?
Yeah, very significant. But I would like to add that this is a work in progress. You know, one of the biggest challenges is how you administer GST, which I dwelled on briefly. I'll give you a comparison of income tax. Income tax used to see the same challenge till the government of India decided to move for faceless and random audit. Now, if you can do that for direct tax, why can't you do it for indirect tax? You have no idea because, see, direct tax, how many people pay direct taxes?
Exactly.
You're talking a very small, probably less than a percent, you know, of people of total India. Whereas in this, you're talking about 13 crore businesses in this country who are in the GST net. So that is the range. And if you introduce an efficient tax administration hands-off, not, you know, personalized, non-contact, you will see a dramatic improvement in the implementation, administration, and use of GST. So to me, these are important steps in the registration point that they've resolved, but there's still a long way to go in terms of administering GST.
So earlier this year, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman raised income tax exempt income to 12 lakh rupees and announced new income tax slabs during the budget. And then we saw the RBI has cut key policy interest rates by 100 basis points so far this year. Taken together with the next gen GST reforms, what kind of impact will these have on India's GDP and inflation?
Anubhav, directly it will come through in terms of the impact it has on the consumer economy. India is a consumption-led economy. 60-70% of our GDP is accounted by consumption. So all that you mentioned, reducing interest rates reduces EMI, expands the household budget. Reducing GST reduces inflation, again, expands in relative terms, improves your budget size. Direct taxes reductions, again, expands your household budget. So what are you doing? You're basically expanding the household budget without even expanding their household income.
Right.
So you by giving them ease of living. So you have created the basis and timing is brilliant. Just ahead of the festival season. Everyone knows this is the time when India spends.
Yes.
And a range of festivals leading to Diwali. So if you combine all of this, I expect a big consumer boost and the lower inflation will create more spending power. And hopefully that this launches India into a new trajectory.
Mr. Anil Padmanabhan, thank you so much for joining us on this program.
Thank you, Anubhav, for having me.
You were listening to a discussion on GST Bachat Utsav, tax reforms to boost manufacturing, agriculture and middle class affordability. The participants were Anil Padmanabhan, economic analyst, and Anubha Rohatgi, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnstalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Current Affairs.